Hello, you are listening to our podcast on sanctuary cities and federal funding, brought to you by the Immigrant Legal Resource Center. My name is Lena Graber. I'm an attorney at the Immigrant Legal Resource Center, and in this podcast, I will interview Professor Bill Hing, a national expert on sanctuary policies, about some of the recent legal and policy issues around sanctuary cities and the threats to deny federal grants to those jurisdictions. Hi, Professor Hing. Thank you for talking with us today. We're just going to have a conversation about some of the issues around federal funding and local policies related to immigration enforcement that have been part of our national discussion recently. So I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what federal funding threats have been made to states and localities and where those are coming from.
Well, what's happening is that the many folks are up in arms about the fact that cities mostly do not want to cooperate with ICE enforcement operations. And so some of them are labeled sanctuary cities, other are simply labeled those sub-federal entities that simply don't want to voluntarily cooperate with immigration enforcement. And the types of threats that have come from Donald Trump, but also from legislators a couple of years ago, particularly after a terrible shooting that took place in San Francisco in the summer of 2015, where blame was laid on San Francisco law enforcement officials improperly. Some of the government officials at that time actually drafted legislation targeting sanctuary cities for eliminating federal funds. The examples in the legislation that was drafted at that time included, believe it or not, decreasing or eliminating federal housing funds that are distributed to localities. But also there were threats of eliminating at least two law enforcement sources of funding. One source dealt primarily with putting more cops on the street, and another was a smaller grant that's given to a small number of locations across the country who are reimbursed for housing deportable immigrants for immigration and customs enforcement. So those were the primary targets of the funding elimination.
And do you think that, so the federal government is threatening to take away funding from localities that aren't doing what they want, basically. Can they do that? Is that legal?
In a word, no. The federal government has, of course, power to tax, and it has power to spend. And in part of its spending power, it does have the authority to place conditions on those federal funds. Here are what the requirements are. In order for there to be a proper conditioning of dispersal of federal funds, there's got to be at least two requirements that are met. One, there has to be a specific reference in the federal funding law to non-cooperation with immigration enforcement. So they can't just say, we're not going to take away this source of federal funds when that source of federal funds has been appropriated with no reference to immigration enforcement. Secondly, even if there is a specific reference to immigration enforcement as a condition, it can't be entirely taken away from the local entity. There has to be a reasonable type of effect. The biggest example of this has to do with federal highway funds. The federal government has conditioned the dispersal of federal highway funds to states if dependent on a particular drinking age, but even then, if the state chooses not to abide by that condition, they only lose 5% of the funding. The Supreme Court held that it's got to be a reasonable amount. It can't be an unreasonable amount. Secondly, the topic has to be, the topic of the federal funding has to be germane. It has to be relevant to the threat that of taking away funds for the particular action. So housing, for take housing for an example. In my opinion, there's just no way that housing money could be taken away from a city, because that that topic is totally irrelevant to immigration enforcement. And so by Supreme Court case law, they would violate that, the federal government would violate that prohibition. And I actually think that there's even a question of whether or not funding for putting more police on the street, whether or not that is germane to immigration enforcement. In my opinion, it's not. Finally, there is another case that was decided just a few years ago that the listeners may recall, and that had to do with the Obamacare decision that was rendered by the Supreme Court back in 2012. And that case, the Supreme Court upheld generally Obamacare, but one part that it struck down was the part that conditioned Medicaid funding, federal Medicaid funding. In California, it's Medi-Cal. It conditioned Medicaid funding, federal Medicaid funding, on the states having to expand Medicaid to include more groups of poor people under Obamacare. And the Supreme Court said that that was improper, that threatening to take away all Medicaid funding from federal coffers if the states refused to meet that condition crossed a line into being too coercive. So there's yet this other area that if you threaten unreasonably to take away all funding for a particular program, that the Supreme Court in the Obamacare case said it, you cross the line into becoming too coercive, and it violates, essentially it violates the 10th Amendment, because you're then forcing states to do something that they choose not to do, and it's within their own state rights to not do that.
Okay, so to recap that, it seems like the funding threats have to be tied to the substantive issue, and that the federal government can't just kind of spring this on, say, we're attaching new conditions to a grant when that's not already in the law.
Exactly. And in the words of Erwin Chemerinsky, who's one of the premier constitutional law scholars in the country, the conditions must relate to the purpose of the spending, and the condition has to be clearly stated in the law. So I think that the federal government would be very hard-pressed to withhold federal funds because the conditions that have been proposed just wouldn't relate to the funding.
And do you think that that plays out the same way when a state government threatens its localities and says, we, the state, have decided we're not going to give you our state grants?
I do think that's a different question of whether or not a state can withhold funds from a city or a county that's not cooperating with ICE. It's not the same kind of federalism issues, obviously, and I think it's very much dependent on the framework of the state constitution. So the answer to that question actually may vary from state to state, but I do think that that's a harder question.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are, you know, very concerned about, they've passed policies that are within local authority to direct their own resources and priorities, but are concerned about what could happen to them. And a lot of folks are even asking, like, what is the funding that's at stake? What is the threat that I'm facing here? How do I prepare? Do you have any advice on that?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. Right now, the threats are so general that we don't know specifically what the state government officials are threatening to take away. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think that those who are issuing the threats know what they're talking about or what they have in mind. And I think that listeners should sit back and think for a moment, what politically could a state legislator get away with in terms of proposing? I very seriously doubt that threats to take away general education funds, threats to take away general infrastructure funds, or threats to take away general welfare funds are something that a state legislature could get away with. That's just not politically palatable. And so I think that we need to wait to see what those who are issuing the threats have in mind. And when they come up with and articulate a specific source of funds that they have in mind, then let's roll up our sleeves and see what we can do politically to stop that threat. I think that's going to be the answer to the state-level types of threats.
And maybe that goes the same way at the federal level. I mean, members of the House of Representatives in particular, a lot of them, their role is to get federal money for their district, right?
Absolutely. That's a very good point. That take California, for example. Even though there are some Republican leaders of the House of Representatives here in California, for example, in the Central Valley, I think that that those Republican leaders would be very hard-pressed to be pushing for defunding of federal funds to every part of the state where those types of funds are beneficial to the general population. So I think that's a good question. I think that politically, this is something that's not going to be easy for Republicans to pull off.
Thanks, Bill. Is there anything else that folks should know to be prepared on this issue that they should understand about, in particular, all the local policies or statements of sanctuary that we've been seeing, what that means or how it fits into this structure?
I think that it's very important for everyone to continue to push for non-cooperation with ICE on these issues. And then let's see politically whether or not those who are issuing those threats actually come through with specific legislation. Because I think that at the end of the day, some of it's bluster, and that those who are threatening will back off. And then even those who aren't threatening, who are threatening seriously, I think that let's see what they're issuing specifically. And I just think that we can really combat that with vigorous on-the-ground efforts to derail those efforts.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to our podcast on sanctuary cities and federal funding. For more information on sanctuary cities and other immigration enforcement topics, please visit our website at www.ilrc.org/enforcement. The Immigrant Legal Resource Center is a national nonprofit resource center that trains attorneys, paralegals, and community-based advocates who work with immigrants across the country. The mission of the ILRC is to work with and educate immigrants, community organizations, and the legal sector to continue to build a democratic society that values diversity and the rights of all people. This podcast was brought to you by the Immigrant Legal Resource Center.